Hi, this is Rick. The notion of having to change in a virtual environment is increasing in its importance and in its difficulty. I mean, for a very long time, we've had headquarters and regional offices. We've had organizations that had an office on one side of the mountains and another office on the other side of the mountains. And they, in the old days, they had to communicate by phone and fax, and then email helped that, and now there's video conferencing, and certainly the internet has all kinds of interactive resources that weren't available, in some cases, even a few years ago. Nevertheless, the challenge of being able to plan and manage a large change when the stakeholders, the people who need to be involved, are spread perhaps all over the world, which also means they've got different cultures, they may have different languages, and they certainly have significantly different time zones from each other. So even when do you schedule these meetings? So I don't think there's any great answers to this question right now, but I want to give you just some of the stuff that I've been thinking about and hope that it helps. But think of this as first draft theater. It's some of the stuff that I've been thinking about, talking to my clients about. My hope is that you'll add to the discussion, and I'll say something at the end of this podcast about how you might do that. The issues at play that I talk about in the book, Beyond the Wall of Resistance, are still at play in a virtual environment. The problem is they get more difficult. So if you take the first stage of a change, making a compelling case, there's still a need for that. I mean, people's psychology hasn't changed because they're living in a different time zone. But making a case has gotten more difficult for many people. And if you just look at the three levels of support and resistance, and on the resistance side, I don't get it, I don't like it, I don't like you. If you take that level one, the I don't get it, there's just more opportunities for confusion over facts, figures, and intentions. It's harder to pick up nuances over a telephone. You can't see somebody roll their eyes. You can't see a smirk. You can't see them lean forward. And then if you expand that to text messages or email, you even have less data to go on. So you can proceeding with your presentation, and you're talking through it, and people seem like they understand, and they may think that they understand. The problem is what you're saying and what they're hearing may not be the same thing. Now, that happens even with couples, and it happens with parents and children. It happens in face-to-face encounters, but it gets exacerbated when we move across continents. Second thing is this level two, I don't like it. This is fear. And it's easier for fear to fester and grow when you don't have to look at those other people. As you probably well know, it's hard for people to talk about emotional things like, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job, in a meeting. Well, and though people will find ways to not talk about that. They'll talk about level one things. They'll talk about facts and figures as a distraction from getting at the stuff that really is keeping them awake at night. In a virtual environment, they don't have to hide out very much because what's happening is happening through a webinar, or you're just looking at some slides on a screen. And so it's pretty easy for a whole office to not go on record with some of the real concerns and some of the real things that may get in the way. So for instance, let's say you're the head of your operation and you've got some offices, let's say you're located in the United States, you got an office somewhere in Europe, and you got a couple of offices somewhere in Asia, and maybe one in Africa. And you're proposing a change in, let's say, software systems to integrate what you're doing around the globe. And you're fairly new, but you realize this is a big thing. And these people on the other end of the phone are going, oh yeah, we got a new boss, and she wants to make her mark. And that may not be it at all. I mean, this is the legitimate thing, but they're sitting there thinking, oh, here we go. So it really is a level three, I don't like you, but it combines with the fear of level two, like, oh, what are we going to get into? And people already are starting to think of ways of working around your initiative. And by the way, this can happen even though you're the nicest person in the world and you're the brightest person in the world and you got the best interests of the people and the organization at heart. Without kind of that roll up your sleeves, kind of face-to-face contact, it's harder to get those messages across. So here are some ideas. These are not magic solutions, but there's some things to think about. If you can get people together for face-to-face meetings, and I know a lot of my clients, it costs a lot of money, but they do it. They make a commitment to doing it. Sometimes a couple times a year, sometimes once a year, but they do it. But here's what I would strongly suggest. It's one thing to bring them together. It's another to really get value out of that meeting. If you bring them together and have them sit in rows and watch people get up and talk to them all day long using their PowerPoint slides, you have wasted a lot of money. It's much better to get these people talking to you and talking to each other. In other words, make the meeting a planning meeting. Make it a meeting where you're going to dig deep and find out what's going on, and so that everybody can help come up with a solution to a problem or to help respond to some opportunity. But make it a real working meeting so that at the end of the day or at the end of those couple of days, people can go, wow, that was great. Even though I had to fly coach and change planes twice, I'm sure glad I was here. A lot of meetings aren't that way. We get people together and our default position is to just talk to them. Well, you can do that through a webinar. What I'm talking about is amping it up. Something that says, you know, the reason we're here today is we're talking about this new change in software systems. And in order for it to be successful, there's some things that are really going to have to be in place. And that's where I need your help. I want you to think about these things. I want you to argue. I want you to help us see the pitfalls. And at the end of these couple days, I want us collectively to be able to walk out with the beginnings of a plan that it would be great if all of us bought into it, but at least most of us could say, yeah, that's where we're going, and it sounds like a good thing to do, and we're on the right foot. Now ask yourself, how many times have you been in a meeting like that? And unfortunately, I think for a lot of people listening to this, the answer is, well, not very often. Each of the stages of change are still as important. So making a case, getting started, keeping change alive, and if necessary, getting back on track. The challenge is you really have to be creative in how do I combine the level 1, level 2, and the level 3 issues. The temptation when you're holding virtual meetings or talking to people one-on-one is to limit everything to the level 1 informational issues. Now, clearly, those are important, but there needs to be something in the way that you're communicating that is helping impart the emotional message too. You need to know people's reactions to it, and you need to start getting some sense of their reaction to you and to your leadership team. And that's at any stage of the change. And then, most critical, is at the end of each stage, you need to have a feedback loop. You need to know, have we made a case? Because if we don't have that information, we shouldn't be moving to getting started. And when we're working and getting started, we need a feedback loop to say, all right, we've done those tasks. People understand the direction. They understand the assignments. They understand the deliverables, the timelines, and all of that. Now we can move ahead. So just because you talked about it, just because you had a meeting, doesn't mean that people got it or they're ready to move. That's why you need to have a feedback loop. And that goes for any of the stages. Now, as I said, this is just initial thoughts on my part. And I would encourage you to add to the conversation. And there's a very easy way to do that. There's a free website that I set up just about a year ago now called Change OSP. It's Change Open Source Project. So www.changeosp.com. It's a free membership site. There are people, right as I'm recording this right now, there are people from probably 30 countries. And when I checked last night, I think we have 566 members. They're somewhere in that ballpark. This is a place to start conversations. This is a place to create a question for everybody and say, hey, you know, this challenge of leading in a virtual environment is a big deal. I'd really like to hear other people's ideas. Or here's what I'm thinking of. What do you think? Or you can just go out to particular members and say, you know, I bet that person in Brazil, I think he could really help. You know, and I think that woman in Ohio, I think she might be able to help. And so you can invite people together and create your own groups within this group. So I urge you to take a look at that. And I lurk on the site a lot. I add things, and I would love if we could learn together on this, because this is really fairly uncharted terrain. Good luck with it.